It used to be people looked forward to Sunday because it was a day of rest. And people looked forward to going to church to see their church family and to get their own family into church. That used to be. But now the old world has done given so much and it's gotten so intertwined in so-called people of faith. Sunday's not the big day. Saturday is. Saturday's the holy day to most people. And in order to attract people to church, churches have began to offer things that didn't even used to be in church in order to attract people. And now, because of that, there's so much world in the church, you can't tell the difference between going to church and going to a rock concert or something. And so today, I want to preach a sermon to you on the calls of God. God still calls. God calls His children. And today I'm not preaching about the call to preaching, though that may be a call to you. I'm not teaching about a call to teaching or anything, though that may be a call to you. But of the ordinary Christian, we've got some calls from heaven. And the world will drown out those calls. The world will overpower those calls with something else, if you don't watch out. So it's my job as a pastor, as the Bible says many times in the New Testament, to put you in remembrance, to remind you of those calls. So turn to John 6:44, and that'll be my text verse, but I'm going to read a couple verses before. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." That's talking about himself. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." Now he says, God will call you. And no man, no woman, no person can come to the Father except through him. And no one can come unless the Father calls, draws them. Amen. Modern Christianity, TV preachers, whatever you want to blame it on, has compromised the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. They've made it to the point to where they have convinced a common man, woman, boy, girl, who's not a Christian, that they can just decide one day they want to be a Christian. Now don't get me wrong, whosoever will can come. But God must draw you first. Before you were saved, you had no interest in the things of God. Matter of fact, you shunned them, mocked them, made fun of them, avoided them, probably. And then one day, all of a sudden, a sermon was preached, scripture was read, a lesson was taught, or something was quoted from the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And all of a sudden, something began to draw you to spiritual things. You begin to look at things differently. Now, the world, they'll just tell you, you know, well, don't worry about it. There's a good man, and I love him to death, and every time I witness to him, he's a wonderful man. He says, Pastor, when I get ready to get saved, I know how. And I thought myself, and by the way, always going to do it somewhere besides church. And I always think, well, listen, your time might run out. You don't know when he might quit calling you. Today's the day of salvation. And you need not boast of another day. You might not get another day. If he's calling or drawing you, you better come right now, right now. But see, he's been convinced because he's heard preachers and things that has him convinced that he can do like King Agrippa. At a more convenient season, I'll call you when I get ready to get saved, Agrippa said. He said, Paul, at a more convenient season, I'll hear more about this. But he can't do that. And there's calls of God. God calls us. And I want to show you a few things other than calling to preach or anything like that. Just common calls. Look, if you will, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, real quick. Now, we're going to go into overtime. Y'all going to say it, long-winded preacher. And I'm going to say, well, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the what? Heavenly calling. Partakers of a heavenly calling. Now, as believers, we all have one thing in common. We've been called from heaven to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, many are called, few are chosen. There's going to be very few to be saved. He said, narrow is the way to life, few there be that find it. Broad's the way to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Most people are not going to be saved. A lot of people never heed the first call, and he didn't have to call you the first time. Now, God calls from heaven. Our call was not from a church, not from a denomination, not from a preacher, not from a pastor, not from an evangelist or a teacher or mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa. Our call to Christ came from heaven itself. It was a supernatural call. That's why it scared us so much. That's why it kept us awake at night. That's why we worried about it so much. That's why when we'd go sit in a church with 100, 200 people, we thought the pastor was preaching right at us. It was a supernatural calling, see. A calling from heaven, he said. We've all got it. Now, if you didn't get the call, and you got baptized, you're still not saved. If you never felt the call of God to be saved in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, a draw to Christ, I don't care if you get baptized till you wrinkle like a prune, you're still not going to heaven. Amen? So there's some callings. Number one, Ephesians 5:8. Real quick, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. When I get through, you're going to say, preach another one. Oh, I'm sorry, sing another one. Ephesians 5:8. In verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness. It didn't say you were in it. It said you were darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness. But now are ye, it didn't say in, it said, now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children in the light. So, there's a call out of darkness. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. There's a call out of darkness. Oh, happy day, the day that I was in darkness. And the old song says it, I saw the light. Amen? Sometimes you'll see people, they'll get gloriously saved, and they'll say, what happened to you? And they'll say, I can't explain it, but I was in darkness, now I'm in the light. I didn't understand it, now I do. I didn't see it, but now I do. There's a call to light, see. It didn't say you was in darkness, it said you were darkness. We were a part of a lost and dying world going to hell in darkness. We didn't understand the scriptures. We didn't understand God. We didn't understand things of God. We walked in darkness. He said, but now you've been called in the light, and he don't stop there. He says, so why don't you walk like it? Why don't you walk in the light? And then 1 John 1:7, of course, says, if you walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. That means all day, every day, all day long, as you're walking in the light, you're trying to obey the Lord, you're trying to be an example of Him, then He's continually cleansing you of sins, sometimes sins you don't even know you did. Amen. Amen. Now, so we're called out of darkness. Now, why in the world would I want to paint the church walls black and bring in black lights and flashing lights and smoke and blue and red and green and yellow and put on stinking hippie clothes and get back into the darkness that I came out of? Well, to walk in the light. People ought to see our light. He said, let your light so shine before men that they'll glorify your Father. They won't glorify you. They'll say, there goes a child of God. Look at that. They dress like a child of God. They walk like a child of God. They behave like a child of God. They talk like a child of God. They only go places where it's light, it's not dark.
Amen.
Amen. I guess one of the greatest disservices some of our churches are doing to young people is giving them darkness. We got a good church member here right now, and I wouldn't call his name because he'd get death threats probably. But he left the church because a youth pastor went in the youth building, painted black, hung black lights. Yeah. And started doing that hippie stuff. Why in the world would we want to send our children into that hell that we came out of? Amen? It's a terrible thing to be in the darkness, not knowing if you're going to heaven or if you're going to hell. It's a terrible thing to be part of the darkness that's going to hell. Amen? Amen, amen. I better go on. In John chapter 14, verse 27, look at John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Did you know He's called us to peace? Now, you wouldn't know at the average Baptist church business meeting, you'd think, man, there's a war going on right now. You know. But God's called us to peace. We're to be peaceful people. If you got a problem with other people and flying off the handle, and you, they'll say, well, I have a short fuse. Well, put it out with the peace of God. Amen. Those people claim to be Christian, walking around with a chip that big on their shoulder, just wanting somebody to knock it off so they can get mad. Well, that's not what Christ gave us. He called us to peace. He put the peace of God in our hearts, and it has so much peace that He said, it's a peace that passes all understanding. I can't even explain it. How in the world, the lost world looks at us, and we're in a time of turmoil and tribulation and heartache and heartbreak, and God's give us the peace of God, and we sit there with the peace of God, and the world looks at us and say, man, what kind of drug you on? The doctor must have give you something. No, he didn't give me nothing. I got the peace of God. March 5th, 1978. Let the wind blow and the storms roll. I've got the peace of God. I know one day I'm going to be with Him and it'll all be settled. Amen? Matter of fact, as far as He's concerned, it's already settled. It says in Ephesians, ye hath He seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm already there as far as He's concerned. Storms don't mean nothing to us, not as children of God. Amen? Well, I've seen Christians that go through trial, tribulation, death, and things, and have the peace of God. And other people look at them and they say, I don't know how to do it. And I look at them and I say, I know how to do it. I know the one that's riding with them. Amen. Amen. And then others, I'll preach funerals. I preached a funeral one time. They made us open the casket at the graveside, and the woman jumped in the casket with the man. And screaming and hollering. And a lot of people say, well, she was just grieving. No, she fussed and fought every day of his life. She griped and complained every day they was married. That wasn't God did that. That was guilt did that. Amen? Usually those that scream and holler the most are those that did the least for them. Amen? But we've got the peace of God. We know that Christ is in it, every bit of it. Since the day we got saved, nothing can come to me without going through Him first. Amen? You say, "Preacher, I don't understand that." I don't either, but I've got the peace to know it. Amen. There's peace in my soul. And by the way, that's why Satan attacks your mind. That's why he attacks your mind. He can't get to your soul, but he can get to your mind through your eye gate and your ear gate. And boy, he'll bring people around to try to get you to doubt the peace of God. And try to get you not to recognize the peace of God he's already given you. And Satan will attack you through your mind. Here I have you laying there. I'll go ahead and use this. Somebody told me the other day, said, I was worried about this, and I wasn't going to get this done. I was worried I wasn't going to get this job, and worried I wasn't going to do this. And then it turned out everything was all right. I got what I was looking for. And I said, "You know what? You just wasted 2 weeks of worrying. You should have saved that. There's probably going to be something else coming along better you could have used it better on." Amen. You wasted 2 weeks. You didn't want to wait on God. And right there at the last minute, God showed up and took care of it. And they wasted 2 weeks of worry when if they'd have recognized the peace of God that God's already given them, they'd have been all right those 2 weeks. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you don't worry." Sometimes I sin and I worry. Yes, I do. But eventually the peace of God will take over. Amen. And then he calls us to virtue. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. I'm going to sing another one. 2 Peter chapter 1. Y'all going to leave and say, "That's the long-winded preacher I ever heard in my life." Look at verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I candidated this church one time. When I candidated, the man told me, he said, "Now we got people, they have routines. 12 o'clock, they leaving." I said, "Well, I can't guarantee you I'll quit at 12 o'clock. Of course, they sang and sang and sang. And then at exactly 1 minute after 12, people started getting up leaving while I was preaching. You know what I did? I kept on preaching. Amen. So if you got to go, go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath" what? "Called us to glory" and what? "Virtue." Now, virtue means clean, avoiding anything dirty, avoiding sin, even avoiding the appearance of sin. Now, he's called us to virtue as a Christian. We'll be virtuous. Most women know the proverb, 31, the virtuous woman. Now, you want the perfect example of a woman? There it is. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to live up to all of it, but it's a good framework to go by. Amen. You put that up there and you do the best you can to go by it, and I guarantee you when you get to heaven, he'll say, "Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant." And so God has called us to virtue. Now, that means we're not like the world. There's nothing virtuous about this world. This world will steal your virtue. Many a young girl has been robbed of her virtue by this old wicked world. Hollywood, music, drugs, alcohol, all those things. Listen, we are to be virtuous people. We are to be clean living people. You say it a lot, all of us did. You don't say it much anymore because you're embarrassed to say it in this wicked world we live in. But we used to say, "I'm trying to live for the Lord. I'm trying to live right." You remember those days when people would say that? And you could tell by looking at them they were trying to live right. And you could tell where they went and where they didn't go they were trying to live right. And you could tell by who they hung around with they were trying to live right. And you could tell by their mouth, their vocabulary, they were trying to live right. You could tell by their habits and their hobbies that they were trying to live right. Virtuous living, he's called us to it. Now, whatever happened to that? That's just as much a calling as a calling to salvation. Once you're saved, you're called to live virtuously. And so... you want to see some good, some bad examples of virtuous living? Just go to Walmart. Just go to Walmart and just stand around and look. You'll see some bad examples of virtuous living. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, I've seen things at Walmart. I want to wash my eyeballs out. I said, man, I hate I even looked at that. Come on. How can I eat? Man, how can I do? But virtuous living. Of all places, the house of God ought to be a place of virtue. Amen? Amen? Of all places, the house of God ought to be a place to where people live right, look right, walk right, talk right, act right. The house of God ought to be a virtuous place. Now, number five. 2 Timothy 1:9 again. 2 Timothy 1:9. Look at it. Now I'm talking about calls of God. Now there's more to it than just being called to save. 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. A holy calling. It's a holy calling. I told you that word holy means like God. God-like. Y'all still with me? God-like. A holy calling. He's called us to be like Him. Amen. Now, we all resemble our Father, like it or not. We all resemble our Father. Every one of us resembles our Father. You kind of look like Him. Ron, I'm sure somebody said to you, I knew your daddy. You look like your daddy. Amen? Amen. And Billy, I look at you. I see your daddy. Amen? Amen. And Rick, I didn't know your dad. You've told me some wild stories, so I don't want to get on that one. But we have a holy calling. We're called to be like Christ. That's why they called them Christians at Antioch. Christians, Christ people. Amen. Amen. And so we've got a call to light, a call to peace, a call to virtue, a holy calling. Hold on, we're about through. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. There's another calling. Now, some people had to go to work, so y'all don't be upset. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 10. It said, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, He's called us to a life of glory. You know what that means? We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to have a glorious life. Amen. We can have a little bit of heaven right here, can't we? Amen? We can have a little bit of heaven. Every home of a Christian ought to be a little heaven on earth. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of them are just opposite. But we ought to have a little heaven on earth where people love one another, do for one another, overlook our faults, endure sometimes, and still love us anyway. And we try to promote peace and happiness. It ought not be a battleground. Amen? We ought to have a glorious life. I think it's glorious to get to go to church. I think it's glorious to live in a country where I can go to church and worship the Lord. I think I got a little bit of heaven on earth every Sunday. That song she sang, Beautiful Land, that's a little bit of heaven on earth, y'all. Did you hear it? You kind of feel a little bit of heavenly feeling in that, couldn't you? And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Most of us already know this. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice, there it is, there's the calling, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now one day we're going to have a home calling. Now, a lot of you old people, I'll call you old, I'm old myself. Lots of older people, when we were younger, Mama would give you some breakfast and then she'd point you to the screen door. We had screen doors back then. And she'd say, now you go out that door and don't you come back in this house till I call you. I'm going to clean up the house. I don't want you in here messing up my house. Y'all remember that? And you'd be out in the yard or under the house, you know. You get hot, and sometimes we get under the house. get up under the house and we'd be out in the woods, down in the creek somewhere, you know, we'd all be playing. We never heard of snacks. Mama didn't have us snacks. God had us snacks, blackberries, plums, May Pops, amen. Whatever we could find down there, God, but we never had snacks. And sometimes we didn't even have lunch. We just play all day. Amen. We were a lot skinnier back then. Well, might ought to go back to that. And after about dark or getting late, she'd come out on the porch and say, "It's supper time!" And boy, all the kids would come running from the woods and the fields and out running out, looked like cockroaches just coming out, man, everywhere. And people flying, that front door gets slammed, and it gets slammed, and it gets slammed. And that didn't like that either. And but we'd eat supper, and then we'd just stay home. And one day, there's a homecoming. And the Lord Himself's going to step out on the front porch of heaven, and He's going to say, "It's supper time! Come up hither!" And boy, we're going out of here. Amen? Well, hey, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this whole body's going to be changed. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Now, that's a calling. Now, that's a calling I hadn't got yet. But it's coming. I'm getting kind of hungry, ain't you? And I'm not talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken either. Amen? I'm talking about manna. I'm getting kind of hungry for angel food, ain't you? Amen, amen. Hey, I am looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. And I'm looking for my Father to call me home. That'll be my last call. Amen? Amen. 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 Coming, ready or not. Amen. Now, that's some callings. Now, there's only two places to go. Heaven or hell. Now, everybody will receive that calling to heaven at least one time. Calling to be saved. Everybody, Paul said the words nigh in thy mouth. Everybody's got a little bit in them that draws you to God. And if you'll listen to the call, He'll call more, see, until finally you can be saved. Some people only hear it one time, they get saved. Took me 3 years hearing it over and over and over. Finally, I got saved. Now, everybody gets that call at least once in their life. And a lot of people don't accept the call. So God's got to do something with those people. And heaven wouldn't be holy with unholy people in it. And they'd turn it into hell. They've turned this world into hell. Don't you think they'd turn heaven into hell? Yeah, they would. They'd ruin it. So therefore, you've got a call. All you that labor, heavy laden, come unto me and I'll give you rest. He said, everybody's got that call. But if you don't listen to that call, then there's another place you got to go. And there's no call required for it. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And we all must be separated from God if we don't answer the call to salvation. Now, so you can't be in that last call until you get in the first call. Amen. Now, you go ahead and you try to live in peace. That's a wonderful thing. You try to live in virtue. You try to live godly. That's wonderful. You try to live a glorious life. That's wonderful. But without answering that first call, you're not going in the last call. I don't care how good you live. I don't care how good you look or act, behave, believe. If you don't answer the call to be saved, when the last call comes, it's only for the saved. You won't get to go. Now today, some of you have a calling. What's your calling? Are you being called to be saved today? Maybe you're already saved. Maybe you're being called to holy living, virtuous living, godly living. Maybe you're being called to peace. Maybe God wants to give you some more peace in your life. But I'll guarantee if you know the Savior, no matter whether you answer those other calls or not, when the trumpet sounds, you're going to answer that call and go. Now, it's the point of a man wants to die. That's going to be your last call. What are you going to do with it? Are you saved today? What are you doing with your salvation? Amen? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.